It's centered around him. It's all about him. I don't know about you, but when I put the focus on myself, that's when the pawpaw hits the fan. That's when things go wrong. Because internally I think about myself. And this week, I had one of those weeks, you can ask my wife and my kids, there was like a cloud over my head. And I just realized I focus on myself. I focus on things around me that I can't change. I can't do much about. But when I get into the worship this morning, you just realize over and over again, it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And what a beautiful, beautiful time of worship. And this morning, we're going to start off a series that we're going to run for November and finish the year off before we go into Christmas, which will be our four values. Gather. There we go. Gather, grow, serve, go. So those are the ones that we're going to look at. And I'm going to kick it off with our new sign that will go up on the wall. So a lot of our stuff inside here are very beautifully made. And Deirdre, thanks. It looks amazing. Really appreciate that. So that will go on the wall. And after we finish with grow, that will go on the wall. And it will be values that we will put up there that you and I can look at and say, this is stuff that we're focusing on. These are the things that are pillars for us as a church. So, yo, Vas, please go sit now, man. Okay, so we're looking at gather. So this is a nice one for me. I love gathering. Why? Because I love to braai. And what do you do around the braai? You gather. Gather around the fire. That's my favorite thing. So please, when you hear this word gather, the ladies stole the name Gather the Girls. It's actually, no, it's, I'm joking. And when she said sparkles, I heard some guys go, oh, I also want a sparkly. We'll do something next year. Don't worry. Okay, we will sparkle you guys up next year. Guys, but when we talk about gather, you can probably sit here and go, well, that's not a very spiritual thing. That's not very deep. I want to tell you, one of NCMI's values that I've learned is friendship before function. That's something that I've come to know in the NCMI circles. Where I come from, you sit before the service start and you quietly wait for the service to start. Okay. People talked a bit, but you don't go crazy. You don't talk like at the back there like you cacklebacker does. They wait quietly and then church start. And afterwards, quietly you leave. And tell you when it starts, it starts. But I've seen in the NCMI circles, like when we have an eldership gathering, you know what they do? They say we start at 10. Rubbish. It only starts at 11. But you know what? There's value in gathering. There's value in friendship before function. Because when you friendship and you know each other and you know each other's weaknesses and strength, you can function much better. And I want to tell you, Hope City, that gathering is a value for us. It's something that we're going to hold on to. It's something that we will keep close to us. And as long as I'm here, we will gather. Because I love to gather. I love to get around. I love to sit and talk and be and braai and have things. But first of all, what is our first point of gathering? It's always around. Here we go. So I love the Oxford Dictionary says the word gather means an assembly or a meeting. But listen to this. Especially one held for a specific purpose. That is what the word gather means. It is especially one held for a specific purpose. And I want to tell you, when we use the word gather, it is for a specific purpose. And this is our first purpose, is to gather around Jesus. This morning, our worship was centered around Jesus. I want to tell you what, when we come together on a Sunday, there's lots of activities. And if it's not around Jesus, you and I might as well just go join a bingo club. Because then we gather as well. We might as well just go somewhere else and just sit around Modderfontein Dam and talk about fishing, which I hate with a passion. Don't invite me to go fishing, please. Unless there's a fire and we can braai something. Then it's okay. Who loves fishing? We're going to do ministry afterwards. I would love for you to just line up here. It's probably because I never catch something, but sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and you go, geez, yeah. Somebody actually took me out deep sea fishing in Durban once. So when I get there, these little dinky boats from here to there. That's how big the thing was. So that was problem number one. And then the second problem is it's not smooth sailing. It's like this the whole time. So let's not go there. What I did on that little boat. It wasn't good. It was green. It wasn't nice. Friends, our purpose is to gather around Jesus, to grow closer to God, to do what he called us to do, to love God and love our neighbors, to go and make disciples. That's why we gather. The first point is always to gather around Jesus. Now, when we say gather, I want to tell you what, love it or hate it. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. Friends, this is your family. God has put you in this family. And can I tell you something else? This is going to be your family for eternity. So the person next to you, get used to him, because you're going to see him for a very long time. You're going to talk for a long time. You're going to be with each other for a long time. And like I've always said, if you don't enjoy long worship, don't go to heaven. Because you're going to worship with each other for a very long time. You're going to be there for a very long time. But this is family. This is when you get together with people like-minded, surrounded around Jesus, and we become a family. I love the scripture. It says in Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visibly and invisibly, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Who's in the center of this scripture? Jesus. He holds everything, friends. When you and I get together on a beautiful morning like this, when you go to your life group, when you're here on a Friday for youth, when we are praying together, when we have a worship evening, it is because Jesus is the center of everything. We can talk about a lot of things. We can even talk about Liverpool that won, yay. We can talk about Man City that lost, woohoo. We can talk about how rubbish New Zealand rugby is at the moment. Friends, at the end of it all, it goes quiet. But Jesus stands centered in everything through the ages. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow. Everything we do is centered around him. And he's got to be our focus. He's got to be the main thing. We always say, keep the main one the main thing. And I love these sayings, but you and I got to understand, friends, when we get together like this as a family, when we gather, it's around Jesus. It's to make him the center of everything. Our focus is on him. When David got into trouble, when David got through things, he says, Lord, I don't know what's happening. I don't know, but I fix my eyes on the maker of heaven and earth. That is where my help comes from. Not around the soldiers that were with him. Not about the people that are fighting next to him. He says, Lord, you are in the center. You're the one that this is where my help comes from. Friends, when we get together like this, I hope that we can help each other to realign ourselves that Jesus stays the center of our lives. John 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things are made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Who are we talking about here? Jesus. From the beginning, he was there. Everything is centered around him. You know what? I don't know about you, but there's a generation out there that makes life all about themselves. And they wonder why they're going through stuff. They wonder why things are happening. Because it's all about me. It's all about what I'm getting out of this. It's all about this. And when we get to a place and I don't like what I hear, what do? We just go to the next place. We just close the one app and we open another app. We just stop this and we go there. Friends, when Jesus is the center and he stays the center, you do everything what he tells you to do. And can I tell you what? There might be things that you don't like. There might be things that are uncomfortable. There might be things that he says, get into this place, get into this position. You go, Lord, but I don't know how. We sang that song. He's the third person in the choir with you. The fourth person, sorry. He is that fourth person in the fire with you. Friends, when he asks you to go, it's not because he's not there. It's because he's already there. He's asking you to join him. And you and I need to understand that our life, our business, our family, our kids, Jesus needs to be the center of our lives. Our King is on the throne. Listen to this verse, Revelation 7, verse 11. How beautiful is this picture? All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God. Where's Jesus? On the throne, friends. I want to ask you this morning. The throne of your life, who's sitting on that throne? Who's sitting on your throne? Who's sitting in your life? Who's sitting on that throne? Because I can tell you what, we can put ourselves on that throne many times. We can put circumstances, we can put other people on that throne, and we keep them in that position, and we look at them. We can even put church people on that throne. I want to tell you what, the only person that needs to sit on your throne is Jesus Christ. He needs to be the center of our lives. So when we talk gather, it's gathering around the throne of Him, and we worship Him, we praise Him, we exalt Him, we glorify Him, because it's all about Him. That's our first point of gather. Like I say, we're going to get to other parts that are very lacquer. But friends, if that's not what we do, if we don't gather around Him, you and I can start a bingo club on Sunday morning here, and we can much rather play bingo. Because that's just gathering. Our gathering can't just be but just getting together. It's for one purpose. It is to glorify this King of Kings. To know Him and to make Him known. To know Him and to make Him known. It's all about Jesus. James 4 verse 8, I mentioned it in the prayer meeting this morning. What a beautiful verse. Draw close to me. And what does God say? I will draw close to you. Friends, my little lower grade math brain cannot fathom this. The creator of heaven and earth, the one that spoke and things came to exist and says, DJ, when you take that first step, I take a step closer to you as well. I'm like, Lord, I don't deserve that at all. But this morning, I don't know about you, but in worship, when we draw closer to Him, what does He do? He draws closer to us. When we read the word now and we say, Lord, let this word wash over me, we draw closer to Him. What does He do? He draws closer to you. In our life groups, when you and I are centered around Him and we talk about Him and we make much about Him, what does He do? He draws closer to you. That's what it's all about, friends. Draw close to God. And see how He draw close to you. Every single one of us walking in here, we've got stuff, man. I know that. Every single one of us, we've got things that we're going through. How many of you are starting exams in the next week or so? Okay. You can put your hand up. It's okay. The parents as well. That's sometimes worse. I tell you what, there's an atmosphere in the house because all of a sudden it's studying time. You know? And the love for each other is not there anymore. We've got two girls. There's a bit of fighting going on. There's a bit of stuff happening. And we walk in here, and we so easily just want to put our beautiful little mask on. Like a hallelujah. It's so nice. Friends, you know what? Jesus knows exactly what's going on in our hearts. And when we stand in front of Him this morning, and we say, Lord, it's all fine. It's all okay. I want to give you a nice Greek word. Rubbish. It's not fine. Friends, He will always be on the throne. But I love it when you and I can just come to Him, and I've said it to you guys before, in spirit and in truth, saying, Lord, I actually stand in front of You this morning, and tomorrow I'm going to this exam, and I have no clue what's going on. Lord, I'm going through these things in my life, and I actually don't have an answer. Lord, I'm facing this with my wife. I'm facing this with my husband. I'm going through this with my kids. I have no answer. Friends, that is not throwing Jesus off His throne. He will stay on that throne. But He will come and He will draw close to you when you do that. And we serve a loving God that will draw close to you. And He will just come and stand by you. And He will comfort. He will direct. He will lead. He will show. He will protect. Because that is what He do. Yes. Please, make Him the center of your life. Through your troubled times, make Him the center of your life. In that lion's den, in the fire, make Him the center of your life. And see what happens to your life. Make Him the center. The second point is family gathering. It's us getting together. This is when Hope City family gets together. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when we come together, each of us has a hymn, a word of instruction, revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Paul uses this nice word, we come together. There's a togetherness. When we look at the word gather, there's a togetherness that I love. So, why is this a value? I've mentioned before, a couple of Sundays ago, for me, getting together on a Sunday is a non-negotiable. It's amazing that we will get up tomorrow and we'll go to work. We won't just think of, nah, not today. Your boss will probably say, nah, I'm not paying you. But it's so easy for us to, on a Sunday, just go, nah. Friends, I hope that we can get to a place that this will be one of our non-negotiables in our lives. Genesis, this verse I love to use when I do weddings. But Genesis 2 verse 18 says, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. But you know that in that situation as well, that God gave him a helper, God created Eve. I want to tell you what, that also God does not create us to be an island on our own. It's not good for you to be alone. Now I know there's some of you that love your books. My daughter is one of them. I know that some of you that would prefer pets. Yeah. Sometimes I agree. Sometimes it's much nicer to work with a laptop because when you're done, you just go, cheers. And when that thing gives you a problem, what do? Control, alt, delete, cheers. Lachatye, papi. Gone. People are not the same. Hey, when that problem are there, they stay in front of you and you go, control, alt, delete. And it doesn't work because they stay there. And just want to like close them up and like, get out of my face, man. But they stay there. You know, you and your wife have this problem and you have this fight. What happens? When you climb in bed, she's there. Like, no, don't stay here. It stays there, friends, because there's a togetherness. There's something that happens when we are together. Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the, what's that word there? Fellowship. What does the word fellowship mean? Two fellows in a ship. There we go. So not one, two. Fellowship, friendship. When we get together, there's fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So that was very important. And they devoted themselves. In other words, they made an effort for fellowship. That is funny. Can I tell you what, friends? I live in an absolute beautiful area. But you know what's the amazing thing of that area? You can't just come in there. You have to get to the security guard, and he's got to phone me, and I can make a decision. I'm not here. No. Who? No. We live behind walls. We live behind bars. We live behind things that we are actually stopping fellowship. And I know the reason for all of this, but we are not geared up for fellowship anymore. You and I, as it says here, we got to devote ourselves to fellowship. We got to make a plan. We got to make an effort to fellowship. We got to set things in place to fellowship. Otherwise, we can just stay behind our walls, a little island, and God says, it's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. It is good to have people around you. Scriptures is a proverb that says, iron sharpens iron. It's good to have people around you. It's good to have a group that's with you. It's good to have a life group. It's good to have a Friday night. It's good to get together here on a Sunday. It's good to have going out with friends because we need that fellowship. To breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. So see, it's biblical to bride. It's right there. And they basically, if you read it in context, is, and they bride together with glad and sincere hearts. That's the only time when you're glad, man. You can't be glad when you eat spinach. You're glad when you have a piece of steak. Okay, I'm joking. Cream spinach is delicious. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So when we look at this early church, I hope that you realize, friends, that when we put up the word gathering there, when we put it up there, it's not that we thumbsucked. What values are we going to? We probably need values. Let's choose one. Friends, it's because when we look at the early church, gathering was a value for them. It was a value for them. When we get together like this, man, I always love. You can ask my wife. You can ask my kids. I live for Sundays. I do. I can probably be Afrikaans word, benieuk. You know what benieuk is? Moody. I can be moody. None of you are, so it's okay. In the week, but when Sundays come, man, something inside of me just get excited because I'm going to gather. I'm going to do something. There's my wife. You can ask her. I'm in my happy place. On a Sunday, DJ is happy. Monday, I'm like, oh, long till Sunday again. Okay, but it's not just Sundays. Please hear me out. But we need to get together. It needs to be a value. When you look at the Old Testament church, friends, this was a value for them. And they fought for that. You've got to understand, when they surrendered their lives and they walked away from their religion, they were either persecuted or their families chucked them out. You've got to understand that. When they said yes to Jesus, their families would probably either kill them or tell them to get out. So their church became their family. And that for us, sometimes we lose that because we can freely just drive here. We can just walk here. There's nothing stopping us. You and I wouldn't throw stones and eggs and stuff on our way here. We just had a free ride here. There's countries right now that if they want to have church, they actually got to go to secret places. They got to go into. So we're supporting a couple in Armenia. I'm going to play a video for you at the end of the month. A couple that's doing things. And just listening to him, it's a Muslim country. They've got to do things very differently. They've got to act very differently. We've got a couple that we love that are in China. They can go to church, but it's very hush-hush. It's very low-key. Friends, you and I had a worship here this morning. You and I drove here. We're going to have most amazing bacon and egg rolls now. We can just have fun. We can have freely. We can have this fellowship. Can I ask you that it will be a value in your life? That when we get together like this, that we value that. That we will keep it as something in front of us. Say, man, I won't take this for granted. Might not stay like this forever. But it has to be a value for us. When I read this scripture, two things stand out for me. The first thing is they enjoyed the favor of all people. How beautiful is that? When they fellowshipped, when they looked at the teachings of the disciples, when they saw these things happening, it says they had favor with all people. I want to tell you what, when you and I walk in unity and Jesus is the center, when you and I operate that our gathering is around him and fellowship and gathering is a value for us, there will be this thing that we have favor with each other. Let's keep it like that. And then the second thing there were signs, wonders, and salvations. I don't know about you, but I long for that. I'm praying for that every day. Lord, let your glory fall. Let your spirit fall. Let us see salvations. Let us see. When we gather together, God says this is what will happen. Paul writes this to the early churches, and I'm quickly going to go through this. Romans 1, verse 1 to 12. I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong, that you may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Remember, he's writing this to the church. He says that you may be encouraged by each other's faith. Next to each other, when you're at life group and you're going through things and somebody gives something, man, this is what God has done for me. It encourages the others. When we have word this morning, when Lennon comes speak, give a word, when Chantel brings a word. Friends, it encourages us. It's not just one person having a time on the mic. It's us stirring faith in each other, encouraging each other. That's when we get together like this. And I want to encourage you. If you have a word and you feel God is saying something to someone, bring it to the elders in front. They will decide if it's something for the church or is it just you. Or maybe you had baked beans and you had stomach problem. It's one of the, it's very possible. Okay. But maybe you feel, I want to say this. Bring it to them. Why? Because it will stir their faith. It will stir their faith. When you go to life group, don't let Terry and Laney do all the talking in their life group. You come and you bring and you stir their faith. Go to Ian and Martha's life group. Say, man, I've got something. Go to Lawrence and Molly's life group. I've got something that I want to share because we stir each other's faith. In In Corinth, it says, finally, brothers, 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brothers, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another. Encourage one another. That's why I said, when you walk in here, man, all of us are going through stuff. This is a time when church can tap each other on the back, but gently, okay, not far fault, harder club. Just like a gentle tap, say, but you know what? I know you're going through stuff, but you can, you know the Nike slogan? What does it say? You can do it. Just do it. Just do it, man. You know what? We're here. We're here. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. Now, there's a whole thing. I've listened to so many sermons about this, circles not rows. It's very difficult to carry each other's burdens in a big group. That's why life group is so important for me. And I'm going to get to that. But you know what? In a smaller group, where you're 6, 7, or 8 people, it's so easy to go to someone and say, you know what, I'm going through this. Scripture says, carry each other's burden. I mean, if you're sitting now next to a random person, you're not going to go to them and say, you know what, I'm a Bull supporter. I mean, that's a burden. That is a burden. For all those Bull supporters out there, that's something to carry. We will pray for you. But you know what? You can't do that here because you don't know them. But in your life group, when you go through things, you can just say to them, you know what? Man, I'm going through this. I'm fighting this battle. And you've got a group that will support you, that will love you, that will pray with you. In the church in Ephesus, says, be kind, compassionate to one another. Love this. Forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. Philippians, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. Colossians 3:16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. Teach and counsel each other. Teach and counsel each other. The church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. This is Paul writing to all the churches. And in every church, there's this thing, encourage each other. Build each other up. But how can you do it when it's separately just you out there? It's when the church is together, Paul writes to them, encourage each other. Be there for each other. You know what I love? When Paul writes this letter, he doesn't write to the church in Philippi and he says, if you have a problem with Terry, rather go to Ephesus. That's much better there. Rather go to Thessalonica. Friends, they never did that, eh? Paul's encourage each other. When you have something, sort it out with each other. Why? Because in fellowship, there are going to be disagreements. It will be there, and it's okay. But you know what? When the main one is the main thing, it's easy to work around those things. Because Jesus sits on the throne. And then fellowship becomes a value for me and you. And we can work through those things. It's so easy to go up and just go to another church. I want to encourage you, if you have something, sort it out with each other. Sort it out with each other. Come to us. Let us help you. But sort it. I'm not saying there's issues. Please, don't read now like, oh, yeah, sing. Like a mulekai diesel. That's not it. But as we grow, that you and I would carry on gathering and make it a value. That when there are certain things just scratching, that we can say, let's sort it out. Because this is family. I want to stay in family. You have to remember that when those people, they get together, okay, I said that, that it was a place of family for them. It was friendship. It was everything. It says they get into the temple courts every day. Every day. So I would love that. I would love for you to come here every day. But we won't do that, okay? And they broke bread every day. Yeah. It's not just coming, sitting, receiving. It's far more than that. It's us together, loving, caring, and encouraging. Friends, before and after fellowship is a value. Please, don't just run away and stay. Hang out with us. When we get together like this, I've seen, and please hear me, this is not anything to anybody, but this is an Edenvale thing. I've seen that. Maybe it's a South African thing. When church starts at 9, what time do we get to church? 9:05. It just happens. It's the funniest thing. And trust me, I've gone to a couple of churches. It's the same thing. You look back and you go, Lord, this church is empty. And after that first song, you look back and you go, what the heck? A whole bus stopped here and just delivered people here today. It's amazing. You know what? I want to encourage you. Come a little bit earlier. have fellowship, there's coffee. And when we're done here, don't just rush off. Don't just run away. Have fellowship. Have a bacon and egg roll. Have a coffee. Chat to each other. Be there for each other. Friends, that's why we have life groups in the week. It's not to fill you up with stuff. It's to encourage, to support, to teach, to help, to love, to be there for each other. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, we know this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Check somebody already go, what spur? It's like not steak and mushroom soda. That's not the spur he's talking about. Okay. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And then the writer says, not giving up meeting together. Friends, when this is a value for you, you go through things, you'll be here. You'll be at your life group because you know that's your family. That's the people you can talk to. That's the people that are there for you. God puts us in family, and this is our Hope City family. Do we agree on everything? Definitely not. But the one thing we do agree on is Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross, rose from the dead, paid my penalty, and he's here. And as family, we are called to be light and salt of this earth. Can I ask you, keep gathering as a value in your life. Make sure that is something. If you're not in a life group, I want to encourage you. Come speak to us. You need to be in a life group. Honestly, you need to be in a life group so you can spur each other on, so you can encourage each other, so you can have that support behind you. Rick Warren is the writer of Purpose Driven Life. I think it's 3 years now, maybe a bit longer. He lost his son. And they said it was probably the most difficult time of his life. He went to his son's house and his son was dead. His whole life group, and he said, my small group, rushed and they just pitched up. And they just stayed with him the whole time. They were just there. I don't know about you, but I need people like that. And it's the funniest thing today. It's the funniest thing. I'm going to tell you something and I'm going to embarrass her big time. I went through hectic COVID, guys. Seriously hectic. The doctor said to my wife, say goodbye, he's not coming back. I survived that, I went home, but it was still a big struggle. And there was a lady here, I won't give her name. That life group paid our rent. That life group gave us food. That life group lifted us up in prayer. That life group carried us for 3-4 months. When we went through a lot as a family, because Dad couldn't do anything. That's what it means to gather, friends. That's what it means to get together. That's what it means to have that support. I want to tell you what, life is not easy. Life is hard. Life throws curveballs at us. And you need people just to be around you. I love what Rick Warren says. He says, if you go to somebody and they go through stuff, pitch up and shut up. And it's true, eh? Don't go with answers. Don't go by talking, but pitch up. Let gather be a value for us. Please stand with me.